This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Dustin Sweetelson of SiriusXM VEASAN will join us. We will do a little bit of everything. We'll go over some NFL thoughts, NFL offseason. He gave us Eagles to win the Super Bowl, I think, last spring. So I think it was like 16-1. So we'll see what he got up his sleeve in terms of next year's Super Bowl. Just look, if you're going to give out a 16-1 winner for the Super Bowl, you're going to come on and you're going to have to do it again. That's all there is to it. So we'll see what he thinks about that. Get maybe into his baseball picks, some basketball as you know, it's still one of those kind of shows. It's still that kind of that time of year where we grind through the dog days, and these are the dog days. And I think we kind of got through the toughest part this past weekend when you have NBA All-Star weekend. I know people were into the hockey, and I'll get to my thoughts on NBA All-Star and what was another fiasco, a predictable fiasco, but another fiasco here, and maybe some ideas on how to fix it. Everybody else is throwing out their ideas, so I'll just kind of chime in here, and then we will move along to Dustin. But look, next Friday, so Friday, February 28th, is the final day of February. That is, it's a short month. You only got the 28 days. That will be Saturday, March 1st. You turn the calendar, and then you know what? You get a couple of those conference tournaments, those smaller conferences, which it feels like more and more of those are starting a little bit later. But I was starting to look. I saw a couple of them do start March 2nd. The Atlantic Sun, March 2nd, March 3rd for some of these. So that week is going to be a lot of conference tournaments. Then the next week, you're going to have all the ones that weren't the first week and all the major ones that second week of March leading into the Selection Sunday. So you know what? We're almost there. We get through the rest of this week, another week or so, and then you're kind of out of the dog days. And again, it's a lot shorter than it used to be with the Super Bowl going with the extra week. And NBA All-Star Weekend is a tough one. And there's some dog days of February, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And it kind of got through the worst part, you feel like, in terms of you know, being a sports fan, and leaves us plenty of time to do baseball previews, other stuff, football. So I'll just get into my thoughts here on the NBA All-Star Weekend, because everyone, man, I don't know what you expected. Everyone complained about how bad it was, and they're right. It wasn't great, and not that I watched a ton of it, but it's just these players can't be bothered to care. The one thing, I think I mentioned this for the dunk contest. The one thing I would do with the dunk contest, I'd actually get rid of it and just bring it back in a few years, and I think people would be excited to have it back maybe 3 years from now. Do you give it a 2-year break? Do you give it a 3-year break? I think people like to, you know, they get sick of something, but if you take it away, they kind of miss it, and they'd be excited for it 3 years from now. I think there'd be a renewed enthusiasm for it. And I think you just run into this idea, and McClung's a great dunker. The problem is he's not an NBA player, but he's a hell of a dunker. You run into this idea, and it's a problem, even the 3 years away or 2 years away, I don't think will solve this, but I do think the time away would help. There's only so many different dunks a human being can do. You can jump over people, you jump over cars, you jump over reverses, and you know, you go back and look at some of these dunks that, you know, Jordan that we all glamorize, that we all you know, drool over. All right, he dunked from the foul line, which, okay, it's impressive, but it's not like, you know, he jumped over. People make it seem like he jumped over a building or something. I mean, he jumped from the foul line, and he wasn't even completely behind the line. His foot was over the line. So I think there is a little mythology with how great it used to be. Maybe there's some of it. There's like there's just more options to watch now. We're a little bit, you know, harder to entertain, I think, is maybe a good way to put it. I think there's some truth to that. But I think the 3-point shootout, still watchable. That's fine. The dunk contest, I'd just bring it back in a couple of years. Get rid of it for a couple of years and bring it back. Maybe people will be into it. As far as the All-Star game, and I think they would, I don't know why they haven't done this. I would think this would be on the table. I can't get into this one-on-one contest, one-on-one idea. I'm sure people will, I don't know. Will people be into a one-on-one contest? Maybe. I don't think I would be into that. That's not an All-Star game. It's anything I'd really have a lot of interest in. Would you do the USA versus the world? I think that's one where you could maybe, and the whole thing is bringing out the competitiveness of the players, and you don't need a ton. All you need is really, man, you know, you're guarding me, but you don't guard me maybe as hard as you can, and I won't drive by you. I'll just shoot a jump shot, and it looks like we're playing hard. Can you at least get back to that? I mean, I've referenced, it was on the other day, the 2001 All-Star game where it's Kobe, it's Iverson, I think it's Vince Carter, and they're just like, they're playing a game, and there was a last-second shot, a one-point game. It rimmed in and out. The team that won celebrated. It's not like it's 50 years ago. I know it's 20 something years ago, but it's not like it's 50 years ago. It's just gotten so off track. But maybe the US versus the world would bring out some national pride where the US isn't going to want to lose to the rest of the world. And a little bit like the Olympics, where there's just going to be some, some nationalism that'll bring out the best in these players. The world is going to want to beat the US. Will that do it? Maybe. Maybe no matter what you do, these guys aren't going to care. And maybe it's just completely broken. I know, I heard our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel on one of the other shows saying, well, they're picked, the NBA gets picked on too much. The Pro Bowl's bad too. I don't know why people, are so quick to pick on the NBA one. His theory is that it's post Super Bowl and there's no content. So people just kind of crap on the NBA, which I think there's some truth to. But I feel like the NBA All-Star game, the reason it gets picked on a little more, I think people feel like it's salvageable. Where the NFL Pro Bowl, it's like, all right, they're not going to tackle and they never really played hard. I think people feel like with the NBA one, it's salvageable and they feel like they're missing out and they're just kind of getting ripped off, which I guess you could say, you know what, you don't have to watch it. I think people know it could still be good, still be decent, and people are just frustrated that's as bad as it is. So maybe if you went to the US versus the world, that would solve some of this. Look, I like LeBron. That's a terrible job by LeBron to, last second, 20 minutes before the All-Star game tips. Oh, by the way, my foot hurts. I'm not going to play. If your foot hurts that bad, you probably knew, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at some point, you know what? I might not be able to go. Why don't I just, if it's going to be 50-50 anyway, I'm probably not going to play. Why don't I just give somebody else a chance to come to this game? It will mean more to them probably than it means to me anyway. I've been to this game a zillion times. Why don't I give somebody else a chance to wait last minute like that? I thought was a bad look. And I'm not one of these people that wants to beat up on LeBron for everything, but I did think that was not a good look for him. I'm surprised he did that. That looked bad. I didn't like that from him at all. If you're healthy enough to play, you play. If you're that hurt, if you're really that hurt, you knew before, Sunday, 8 o'clock or 7:30, whenever he announced, oh, by the way, I can't go, my foot hurts. Come on, that was a bad look. I was surprised. I was disappointed that he did that. That was not a good thing that he did. I thought that he could have handled that better for sure. Before we get to Dustin, NBA is back on Wednesday. We get one game. We get the Lakers, 13-point favorites against the Hornets. Called a rivalry, but some bad blood with how that trade happened, got rescinded. The Hornets wanted to protest and thought it was ridiculous that it got overturned. I guess they didn't have protest. What can you protest if the guy didn't pass the physical? He didn't pass the physical. So connect against on his new team against his former team on his new team. So it's he's gone back and forth. Never actually played for the Hornets, I don't believe. Between the time that trade went through, I don't think he ever did suit up for the Hornets. And he's back on the Lakers. So that's an interesting dynamic there. Then you get a bunch of teams back in action on Thursday here with more of a full slate. Celtics against the Sixers. As you look at some of these odds, I think I've talked about this either here or on other shows. To me, we're looking at a Celtics Thunder final, and I'm more confident, I think, than the Thunder than even the Celtics in getting there. Just because if you look around the West, and you can still get the Thunder, they're +105 at DraftKings to make the finals. Who is beating this team? The Lakers do not have the defense. They do not have the size. The Rockets, I don't buy that. The Grizzlies aren't good enough. Could Jokic go nuclear in a 7-game series? Is he enough? Does he have enough around him with Murray and Porter? And you win your home games and you just find a way to steal one in OKC? Maybe. But I think it's more likely that OKC not only wins the West, but does it without even having to play like a seventh game in the West. I think they're going to mow through the West. So I think they're a good bet. Even at like even money +105, it's similar to the Celtics last year, right before the playoffs started. And remember, Giannis was hurt for the Bucks. He'd just gotten hurt. All these injuries in the East, and you're like, man, Celtics at even money. That seems like a good bet to some people. It would say they'd be like, you know what? I'm not getting enough bang for my buck. Well, you look up in 3, 4 weeks, and it's -500. It's -700, and they just, nobody put a glove on them. I think you could be looking at a similar scenario with OKC in the West. As far as the Celtics in the East, you could look at them one of two ways. You could look at them and give them a pass for their malaise this year and say they're bored. They won their championship last year. This is human nature, which I think is true. Or you could look at them and say, you know what? I don't buy in them. I don't buy into them. They got the easiest path known to man last year in the East with all of the injuries. And then they played, what was Dallas, a 4 seed in the final? They got the break of all breaks. Dallas might have even been a 5 seed last year. They got the break of all breaks last year in terms of their path. They have to prove it to me still. This year, their struggles, I think there's some truth to. I think there's some truth to the fact that they did have a super easy path last year, but I tend to differ. I tend to defer more that, hey, they got the monkey off their back. They won their title, and this year it's an 82-game regular season, and they're saying, you know what, we'll see you in the playoffs. So I do think they'll be fine once the playoffs get here. I can't buy into the Cavs beating them in a 7-game series. Could the Knicks give them a hard time? That's a good home court advantage. They've got, Towns now, and Brunson's obviously a tremendous player. Yeah, the Knicks could push them, but I kind of have to see the Knicks do it before I believe in them. I know they fell apart against the Pacers with all their injuries. I got to see the Knicks actually step up and beat them before I can actually pick the Knicks to do something like that and go to an NBA final. I'd love to see it happen. It'd be great for the sport. Great to see the Knicks in a conference finals, or can you imagine the Knicks in an NBA finals? That would just be incredible. The Garden would be just, the roof would basically come off with all of the down years they've had between the 90s and now, and how much their fans love that team, and the fact that they got off the mat and they actually have a finals-ish kind of team. That would be great. I mean, I would love nothing more than to see the Knicks in the final. I just kind of have to see it to believe it first. So I still think we're probably looking at an OKC Boston final. But look, you never would have thought Dallas would have made the finals last year. So the NBA is not a sport where upsets happen. It's usually more of a chalk sport, but that doesn't mean upsets never happen. So we will see, obviously, in a couple months when the playoffs start, what unfolds there. But I do think it's more of a chalky OKC Boston collision course in terms of the final. But we'll talk some NFL. We'll talk to Dustin Sweetelson, talk some baseball, maybe even mix in a little hoops. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. You can catch him on SiriusXM VEASAN. It is our buddy Dustin Sweetelson. Dustin, welcome back, man. Thanks for coming on. I guess we'll just start here. Last time you were on, I think the last time you were on, you gave out the Eagles maybe 16-1 to win it all. So you're just gonna have to do it again. Who's gonna win next year's Super Bowl?
That's always the fun game, right? When you hit it, you're like, well, I got to do it again. I remember the first future I ever hit was the Joe Burrow LSU team, 25-1. First time I ever really placed futures, first time one came in. I was like, you know what? It's a lot easier. I didn't have to bet a lot of money to win a lot of money. I should do this every year. So, look, the Eagles were a team for me. They had very clear needs a year ago, right? Coming off a year with a lot of dysfunction in the locker room, the way things ended in Tampa Bay. And the thing I liked about them, Will, was they went into their offseason knowing we have these deficiencies. Let's fix it. One was we needed maturity when it came to coordinators. They brought in Kellen Moore. They brought in Vic Fangio. Then they add Saquon Barkley, and you start thinking, hold on, this is like the perfect guy to put in this RPO offense. Like, how do you defend him and Hurts? So that's why I identified them. So with that, I have three teams I've identified that I think have clear needs that they need to address and will, and have the upside to win the Super Bowl at 17-1 or longer. So our first one's going to be kind of a lazy pick, but I don't care because, as Nick Sirianni taught us, Will, less thinking means talent takes over. And the 49ers at 14-1, there's still too much talent there for it to not to take over. They're going to lose a little bit of depth by paying Brock Purdy, but they still have a ton of weapons. They have a lot of pieces. Maybe Trent Williams retires and that gives them money to spread out across the offensive line. But you have to also remember, this is a San Francisco team, Will, that this is their first time not making the playoffs in a minute. And they're normally playing late in the year and their bodies are beat up. And that, I think, is what the attrition led to all the injuries this year. I think we're going to get a very healthy 49er squad this year. And while they may not have the depth they're used to after giving Purdy his contract, I think they're going to be good enough to be there in the NFC title game. And at 14-1, I think that number's just too big.
Completely agree. That's the one team that really kind of leapt off the page to me. I know Philly was +750. I think it's circa. I was like, man, I can't really argue
No.
betting Philly, but they're gonna have a tough schedule, a bunch of road games. To me, San Francisco, all the reasons you identified. I mean, would you blink if I told you right now they bounced back and they were 12-5, 13-4? Sure, they're gonna
No.
lose Debo. Maybe McCaffrey's never McCaffrey. I get all of that, but there's just such an overflow of talent, like you mentioned. It's almost interchangeable with these running backs and receivers in the Shanahan system, where they're all open, they're all kind of good, they can run the ball. I'm completely with you there.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite ones. It feels like too obvious, so it's like probably not going to come in then. But the next one here, I think everyone's going to be on this team next year just because once they start making moves, because they have two very clear needs, and that's defense and offensive line. The Cincinnati Bengals at 17-1, like that is one that I think everyone's going to want a ticket on because look, if you're going to win the AFC, You need a quarterback who can go shot for shot with Allen, go shot for shot with Mahomes, and even, you know, go shot for shot with Lamar. Bengals have that in Burrow. They have the weapons. I think they hang on to T. Higgins somehow, but I wouldn't be opposed to them letting him go. I think that could be a situation where you can find another T. Higgins, another number two, and then you take that money, you just address the defense, you get offensive linemen, you protect Burrow. And I think the Bengals at 17-1 is a really nice number.
Well, I can see it. I do think the Chiefs are probably, never want to count them out, but for the first time, it was like, I could see a path where they maybe have a year or two where they take a step back. I know Mahomes is going to uplift them and whatever team you give him to a respect. I mean, look, the guy's been in either in the Super Bowl or just about in the Super Bowl pretty much every year here, where the AFC title game in overtime is the worst year he's ever had, which is just insane. But that roster has some issues, so it's a little more wide open. So, I could certainly see the path for them as well.
All right, and my last one here is the Los Angeles Chargers at 28-1.
Wow. I love 3-for-3 approval for me. I like this one too. Go ahead.
They were so depleted on offense last year. They had the system had to evolve to factor in that their number two receiver couldn't catch the ball. Like, Quentin Johnston can't catch. Ladd McConkey was fed over and over. Get him some help. Get Herbert some help. And I think they're going to do that. They were in a bad cap situation. Now, they may lose Bosa to a cap situation, but they might be able to make a trade for Myles Garrett. Wouldn't that be like a good replacement there? I think salary-wise it would work out for them. But I think the biggest thing for the Chargers when you look at their upside, Will, I don't like overstating stuff like coaching matters, but the Jim Harbaugh upgrade was very apparent a year ago. It was a totally different team. They were in close games. They actually dictated the style of just about every game they were in, and that all goes back to coaching. The coaching is elite. The quarterback's going to get better in the system, and they're finally going to add pieces to give him some help.
Completely agree. Last year was a reset the deck kind of year, and they still won 11 games. Now, the schedule won't be as easy this year, but it's still not a first-place schedule. And what I like about them, the stuff they need is the stuff that you can get. Like, they need a running back. There's plenty of running backs in the draft. You can get running backs wherever. You can get receivers. You can add the skill guys. They've got the meat and the potatoes, the coach, the quarterback. Now, granted, the quarterback has to show something in a big game. I've always been a defender, but that performance against the Texans was not, was not something that you can take lightly, because he was really bad in that game. And he's okay. This is what, year five, year six, hasn't won a playoff game. I understand all of that, but they've got some offensive linemen. Like, they got the two tackles. There's a lot of boxes they check where, and you throw in the fact that, again, if you think Kansas City takes a step back, why can't the Chargers get to 12 wins and maybe compete for that division? If you compete for that division, you know what? All bets are off in terms of their path to get there is going to be nice, 28-1. So I completely agree with that one too.
Yeah, the defense was legit too last year, and I don't think that's going to stop. I think that defense is going to come back and be awesome. I love the secondary. Derwin James finally healthy. Yeah, 28-1 is a very big number on a team that has Super Bowl potential.
Where do you think some of these quarterbacks go? Where do you want some? I'll go word association. We could just go one word at a time. Where do you think this guy's going to be playing next year? Rodgers.
So I want him to go to the Steelers only because I want to see how Mike Tomlin handles him. Because I think Rodgers wants to do his own thing. Tomlin doesn't take BS. However, the one thing you have to give Tomlin credit for is he's always been a player's coach where these guys play under him. We never know that they're malcontents. Then they leave, and all of a sudden they're explosive everywhere they go. So I think there's a level of Tomlin being able to rein him in. I think it'd be a good spot with a great defense where Rodgers doesn't have to do too much, but they would need more weapons. So I'd question whether Davante Adams could go with him, what else they could add, receiving-wise, to help Rodgers out. So I want him to go to Pittsburgh, but I think there's only three teams in the market for Rodgers, realistically. I think the Giants, unfortunately, as a Giants fan. I think the Browns. And then where I think he ends up, I think it's the Raiders. I think him and Pete Carroll, their kind of energies are similar. They're both in a similar spot in their careers as well, wanting to prove at an older age they can still get it done. I think the Raiders need some relevancy. I think there's a chance. I think there's a very small chance that we see a better version of Rodgers from a year ago because the Achilles wasn't 100%. I don't think it's a great chance, but I think it's a small chance. And I think the Raiders would be an interesting spot and the spot where I think Rodgers ends up.
You know, it's funny. You think of Rodgers, like, oh, what a miserable year. Jets were a disaster. He was a disaster. You think of that game against at the end of the year against Buffalo, where he was just like a, you know, horrible quarterback rating. Basically, I think they got shut out. 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Boy, that can, I know the touchdowns, interceptions can be misleading. 63% completion. That stuff can all be misleading. Quarterback stats can all be misleading. But that's not like he's you know, should be in the CFL or could be retired. That's at least there's some semblance there. And if you're going to defend him, you're going to say, you know what? The Jets were supposed to have an elite defense, and he was just supposed to be sort of a game manager, a decorated game manager, and the defense fell apart. And that's why, you know, Rodgers at his age was not supposed to carry a team. That was not the idea. Maybe there's something to that. I'm not sure.
No, look, I thought he looked really slow. I thought the ball didn't leave
Sure.
his hand quickly. And I like to your point about quarterback stats. When you're always losing, the quarterback is the one who benefits statistically because you're throwing from behind. And there was a lot of instances they're down two, three scores, and Rodgers just trying to throw something, try to throw them back into a game. So, but I do think that Achilles may not have been 100%, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Again, the Steelers would be. I want them on Hard Knocks if it's the Steelers. That is a fascinating watch, but I think it ends up being Pete Carroll and the Raiders.
So what do you think happens with the whole Stafford Rams, assuming Stafford leaves there? Like what else, where else do some of these quarterbacks go in your mind?
Am I crazy? I think the Stafford thing's a complete lie. I think it's all fabricated. I don't think he's leaving. I don't understand why he would. They were a play away from going past the Eagles. Like, I don't understand why he would leave. McVay is the perfect fit for him in his career right now. McVay knows him and trusts him. I think McVay also trusts Stafford. I think the stuff about Cooper Kupp is just him being a good guy and a good friend and a good teammate. But I think Cooper Kupp's gone. I think Stafford stays in LA. I just can't envision him going somewhere else. He's never played outdoors before. He's always played in good weather indoors, you know, going back to Detroit. I don't think he's a guy who can go to a cold weather city and throw them into a playoff spot. Like, I think Stafford needs to stay in LA. I think he stays there. I think Darnold, we'll find out with this franchise tag, but I think Darnold might be an option for the Steelers. Is that crazy? I think we're all thinking one year at a time with Pittsburgh, bring in someone, stopgap, fix it, plug this hole. I think Sam Darnold might be an option for Pittsburgh if they can make it work financially because they need a franchise quarterback. He showed upside. I'd be intrigued with him working with Arthur Smith. So that's one that jumps out to me.
Makes sense. And I'm totally with you on Stafford in terms of like going to the Giants. Like that to me, you're gonna put him
Why?
outdoors, bad weather, bad offensive line. That is a recipe for disaster. I wouldn't really love it if I was the Giants. I get why they're doing. I mean, they're all trying to save their jobs. You know, if we win four or five games again, we're all out of here. Let's try to be respectable and go 9-8, and you know, maybe we can save our jobs, which is never a good way to approach things. I guess I'll last football one. What do you want the Giants to do in terms of draft, quarterback, whatever?
So you're gonna think I'm crazy. So I think Justin Fields is an option for the Giants. I think Justin Fields makes sense when you look at Daboll and his history with Allen and running quarterbacks and the ability to scheme things up, right? If you look at Jalen Hurts in a vacuum as a player, he's a flawed player. He is not an accurate thrower of the football. Now, he was accurate in the Super Bowl, but I think part of that is scheme. Those guys were open a lot of times. And I think that you can find a guy and scheme him up properly. I think if you use Fields' legs as a base, you can give your offense a chance each drive to end up with points. I would like Fields. I'm on an island. I want them to draft Jalen Milroe with everything I just said.
Oh,
I think you can scheme it up if you bring him along
to play
slowly.
what position?
You base everything off the legs. I think he's going to test out of the combine like Lamar level speed.
Ooh.
I think you just find a way to make that work. You find a way to develop the arm. You hope that it's like little things in the footwork that you can fix. But I want no part of Cam Ward. I'm telling you this right now. I am a Giants fan. I am also a Miami Hurricanes fan. I watched every game this year. Cam Ward played like garbage a lot of times in the first three quarters. Then in the fourth quarter had heroics that he got credit for. He was part of the problem. He was part of the reason. And he has a big issue in that he's similar to Caleb Williams. What he does best is play off script. Well, you can't force that to happen in the NFL the way he was able to force it in college. So when you play off script, what you do is you get your offensive line to block that weak pass rush, And then eventually the coverage breaks because your receivers come back to you. There's only so much time DBs can cover deep. And Cam Ward benefited from DBs having to make decisions. Do I go after the quarterback? Do I leave my receiver? Where is my receiver? I think Cam Ward is a highly flawed, highly overrated quarterback prospect. I wouldn't draft any of these guys in the first round this year.
Interesting. So who would you take first if you're the Titans? Carter or something?
I would take Travis Hunter.
Okay.
I think you're getting potentially, let's just use the Eagles for an example. Let's use one roster spot. You're potentially getting Devontae Smith and Darius Slay in the same player.
It's a good way of looking at it.
I would do him. Carter would probably be the next option for me, but I don't think any of these quarterbacks are special. I wouldn't want them on my team. But again, like you said about the Giants, people are going to have to save their jobs. They're going to have to make decisions. And part of a way you do that is by drafting a young quarterback.
Have you made any baseball bets yet, futures otherwise?
I have one in pocket. I have 30-1 on the Arizona Diamondbacks to win the World Series.
Oh, you love this team. You liked them last year too. You got a little thing for the snakes.
I had them 80-1 the year before too when they went to the World Series.
Oh wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think you're going to get a bounce back from Corbin Carroll. He's 22-1 for NL MVP. I think he's an option. I think that right shoulder for him was really bad a year ago. The rotation is silly. They add Corbin Burns. They already have Gallen. They have Merrill Kelly. Brandon Pfaadt, according to the stat nerds, should have been a lot better than the numbers indicated. And then your last spot, if Eduardo Rodriguez or Jordan Montgomery can be some semblance of their former self, they're loaded in the rotation.
It's a good five.
Josh Naylor to replace Christian Walker, I think that's about a wash. I also like Naylor as a clubhouse guy as well. I just think Arizona at 30-1, they're 25-1 at some places now. I am way into this team. And it's tough because they're not going to win the division. Like, there's a 0% chance they win the division because the Dodgers are one of the best teams we've ever seen assembled.
Who's the Diamondbacks closer? I'm trying to think top of my head.
Seawald?
I thought he went elsewhere. Cleveland.
Then it's probably Ginkel.
Who's got good stuff? He hasn't been a closer before, but yeah, I guess I just Googled it here. The AI overview tells me guys in the mix are Justin Martinez, who I'm not familiar with, and AJ Puk.
AJ Puk.
Yeah, Puck was bad as a starter. He's got good stuff.
Like Ryan Thompson, though, the guy they have as a middle reliever.
Little side armor guy?
Yeah, I think he's really good. He's had good results, you know, there. He had good results in Tampa Bay. He may be an option by the end of the year. But I like this team a lot. The lineup's deep, too.
Yeah, you can piece closers together. You can find one at the deadline. That's one position you can kind of cobble together. How good are the Mets? How good are the Yankees? How many wins for each team?
I have a lot of questions about your Yankees. I'm not going to lie. I like the offseason on paper, but at the same time, we have to acknowledge we don't know who Cody Bellinger is year to year, even though the fit and the short porch, I think, makes a lot of sense. And then Paul Goldschmidt's old. Like, he's old. The bat looked really slow last year. The big addition for them was Max Fried. I thought Max Fried was an awesome, awesome addition, but they got a lot of money tied up in that pitching staff. I think the Yankees, you know, I don't like the bottom of the lineup. Is that fair? Am I being fair? Like, I don't like their depth. I have a lot of questions about the Yankees lineup and the depth and 7, 8, 9 being easy outs for everyone, you know, every time through the order.
Oh, I'm always skeptical. Anytime they bring in somebody who's not like a Juan Soto, who is not an absolute can't miss, I just assume they're gonna do less than people expect because that's just what's happened the last, you know, 5+ years, whether it's Josh Donaldson or Joey Gallo or, you know, whoever. These moves just very rarely work out when you bring in these hitters, even the pitchers to some extent. You bring in these hitters, oh, this guy's going to do what? No, they always do, like, less than you expect. So I can't really disagree. Judge better stay healthy. If Judge gets hurt, and they need something from Dominguez, too. They need Dominguez to emerge and be playable in the field. But Judge has to stay healthy. They can't, you know, okay, maybe you miss him 2-3 weeks. You can live with it and just kind of bide your time and maybe play 500. But anything like a month, 6 weeks, Stanton's already hurt. It could be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, the Yankees need some of these young kids to do something. The Mets and Yankees prospects are always overhyped, always talked about too much. Dominguez, Peraza, Cabrera, all these, like, one of them needs to pop. Desperately there.
So are you telling me Spencer Jones is not the next Mickey Mantle? Is that what you're telling me?
He might be, but he also might be nothing. That's the problem. I'll go and win total for your Yankees. I will go, they'll win 90 games.
Okay, so that is slightly under. I think Yankees are listed at 92.5. You guys are 91.5. Might be, you know, shop around. They're right around the same number. How many for the Mets?
I think the Mets are 90, 91. We'll go 91 for the Mets. I just think they have a lot of help. They have a lot of depth, especially with the arms. Frankie Montas goes down. They have a lot of options that they can throw out there this year, which I do like. Now, are the options great? No. Do they have a legit ace? No. Manaea emerged in the playoffs. We'll see if that was real, his adjustments he made. Senga can be an ace, but I view them both more as like really good number twos if you're a playoff team.
With you.
The thing for the Mets is for the first time, they're built around offense. I just think the lineup's awesome. Getting Pete Alonso back's massive. By the way, he's 50-1 for MVP. I know we want to talk Soto and we want to talk Lindor, but if those two are on base, how many more fastballs is he going
to
see?
That's not bad. I hadn't thought about that angle. 50-1. That's
50-1's a big number.
It is a big number.
On a guy coming off a down year, he got a little bit of money in his pocket. I mean, what if he hits 45, 50 home runs in this lineup? He's never had protection like Vientos before. Like, we're all talking about Alonso to protect Soto, but we're not talking about what Soto and Lindor at the top of the order do for Alonso now. I just think the Mets, they have a plan. I like the depth. I like that they're trying out all these kids that were big prospects at multiple spots. I think we're going to see more Acuna. We're going to see more Beatty. We're going to see more Ronnie Mauricio coming off the injury. I think they have a lot of really good guys who could potentially emerge as legit MLB players. And I like the lineup 1-9. I think the Mets are built on offense, but the problem is I still think the Phillies are way better than them and the Braves are still better than them in the division.
That was going to be my next thing, because you say 91, that's not enough to win a division. So you're obviously not picking them. I'm more like 94 with the Mets, 94, 95. I still, like, if it's the Mets versus the field to win the division, like I get Atlanta or I get Philly, I'd probably take Atlanta or Philly. I haven't made like my official predictions. I don't know if you, like, life on the line right now, who I pick to win that division, I'm not sure who I go with.
Yeah.
Who would you go with?
So I go Phillies, because with Atlanta, look, the upside's there. That was a team ravaged by injuries, like, unlike I'd seen outside of, like, the Mets a few times, but they lost everyone last year. The problem is they're going to rely on Spencer Strider coming back off injury, but also you have two major regression candidates in Ronaldo Lopez, who was a reliever up until last year, had never thrown that many innings, so he's a potential to have some issues. And then secondly, you have Chris Sale. Chris Sale's been hurt for the last like 5 years, just won the Cy Young. We're just assuming he's going to be fine again. That's issues for me. For Philly, that lineup is still super deep. It's really diverse. They're just really, really tough 1-9. They added Kepler from the Twins. I like that addition. But more importantly, the pitching is just elite. Wheeler into Nola, into Sanchez, into Suarez. And then they added Jesus Luzardo. If Luzardo stays healthy, he might be their number three or potentially number two if he explodes. Romano comes in to be the closer. I think Phillies at plus 210. They win the East. 12-1 to win the World Series. I think the Phillies will be there when it's all said and done at the end again.
Well, last couple here. What are your thoughts on the Red Sox? Are they a legitimate AL East contender, a legitimate AL contender? I guess I'll just start with that one.
Yeah, I think they are. I like the depth. I think that's the thing I like about them is they're not top heavy. They're just kind of spread out. Crochet and Buehler coming in, there's definitely questions there, but I do like the upside. You add them, Tanner Houck is still a one. Bayo has upside. Can Giolito be healthy and bounce back? They still have Cutter Crawford, who's a solid, like, no, if he's your five, you feel good about your rotation. I guess Garrett Whitlock's going back to the bullpen now that I think about it. And I kind of liked him as a potential starter, but I am the lineup 1-5 super deep. Duran at the top. Devers, once he figures out what his deal is. Bregman makes the most. I don't like Bregman. I don't think he's very good, Will. I think he's a little overrated, but what I'd say is he benefited from the short porch in Houston. I think he'll do the same in Fenway. I think that's why it's a good fit. And I think Tristan Cassis is only going to get better. I think he's a legit power guy. So I really like their lineup. I think they, at 22-1 to win the World Series, they're a team I'm considering as a flyer. And I don't think it's out of question that they find a way to win the division.
It's funny you bring up Cassis. Did you see, it was just as you were logging in, I saw this quote. Did you see this, what he said today?
No, what did he say?
Quote, I think Bregman should play second. Rafael Devers is my third baseman. And then he goes on to say that he doesn't think Campbell, Anthony, or Meyer should be on the opening day roster. It's like, geez, calm down.
What?
Take the microphone away from this kid. Jesus.
Is he doing a sports talk show? Know, or is he the first baseman of the team?
Get him on. I got to get him on the show. I mean, we'll see what else kind of takes he's got flying here.
You know, you can lie, man.
Like, I know. Just say,
I mean,
you know,
we'll hold it against you, but.
I'm here to help the team in our next question. Like, my goodness.
And God willing, always mix in right. God willing, and everyone likes you.
Right. Any sleeper team for you before we get you out of here?
Yeah, look, my sleeper, it's not that big of a number, but I think it all could come together. And I mean, they just won a World Series, but the Rangers at 25-1. Astros, I think, are down. They just keep losing pieces. Seattle has no offense. I think Rangers win the division. Lineup's going to be loaded. They're going to get Seager back. They're going to get Josh Young back. Wyatt Langford's young. He's only getting better. They added Jake Berger, power guy at the corner. Higashioka. They kept Eovaldi. And then what if Jacob DeGrom actually pitches? Like,
I think Bet Rivers had him 40-1 to lead the league in strikeouts. I've seen 30-1 at Fanatics and DraftKings. That's just one if he's healthy. I mean, he's like a coin toss. People forget he's a cheat code when he pitches. Can he actually stay healthy? But I'm totally with you. DeGrom gets forgotten about for good reason. But boy, if he could ever put it together, that's scary.
Yeah, I just think the Rangers have it all. Like, they won the World Series 2 years ago for a reason. That core is intact. They have a lot of power guys coming off down years, I think, because of injuries. And I just don't like the division. I think they're going to win the division. And with that, they'll be in the playoffs and anything can happen from there.
Yeah, that is the most forgotten world champion of not just in baseball, just like in any sport. When you say they won the championship, like, I know it happened. I watched it, but it just, something about it just doesn't register. I don't know. Maybe because they played Arizona. It was just so random.
Because you've never been anywhere in the world and ran into someone wearing a Texas Rangers hat. Like, you've never met a Texas Rangers fan anywhere on the planet.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. Dustin, this was fun, man. I got to do this again more often. Appreciate you coming back on. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, well, anytime. Find me on Twitter at Dustin Sweetelson. And weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, me and Patrick Maher on VSiN Live.
Appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you to Dustin Sweetelson. Rate, review, subscribe, Apple review, Spotify reviews. They all help. We appreciate you guys. Tell a friend, tell anyone, tell a stranger at the grocery store about the podcast. Anything you do to help, we appreciate. Be back Friday. See you then.